Well, what about the law? Not just the Ten Commandments, all those Old Testament rules and regulations that were so important to the Jews for hundreds of years, God's law, and the commands of the New Testament too. If righteousness has nothing to do with keeping the law, if it's down to faith and faith alone, does the law not matter anymore? Does the law not matter anymore? Paul is answering that question. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first part of his answer. In the first 6 verses of Romans 7, he explained just what our relationship to the law is these days. And he said, "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ." Just in the same way that you have died to sin, you have died to the law, he said. In other words, your relationship with the law has ended. You're no longer obliged to keep it. Oh, great, you're thinking. I can do what I like now. Oh, come on now, keep up. Where have you been all these weeks? Do you not remember what Paul said in chapter 6? He dealt with that. Don't be daft, he said. That's not going to happen. It can't happen because you've been born again to a new life. Verse 4. "Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you should bear fruit to God." You've died to the law, and that means that now you're free to live that new life that you have in Jesus and bear fruit to God. And we talked last time about what that means. And the bottom line is it means that you live a righteous, obedient, God-glorifying life, not because you have to, not because you've got to obey the rules. You'll do it because you want to. It's what your born-again new heart wants to do. Free, happy obedience from the heart. That's how it is with everyone who has been truly born again. And Paul said too, he said, you had to be set free from the law because not only could trying to keep the law never make you righteous, it was actually making you less righteous. Give a sinner rules to live by and you just make him more sinful. Verse 5, "For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." Well, that's where we finished up 2 weeks ago. And now some of you are thinking, I know you are, some of you are thinking, Paul, are you saying then that the law was a bad thing? Well, it's funny you should be thinking that because that's exactly what Paul's going to deal with now in the next verses. Do you see how this letter flows? Paul, he's presented his good news, he's presented the gospel, and now he's knocking off the questions it raises one by one. The questions it's raising for you and the questions it would raise for any right-thinking person. It's all logical and connected, just as the whole Bible is. Anyway, let's read Romans 7, verses 7 to 12. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Is the law sin? Is the law a bad thing? Certainly not, Paul says. Quite the opposite. In fact, the law is a very good thing. He says in verse 12, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Well, how come, Paul? Why is the law a good thing? You just told us it made us more sinful and we had to be set free from having to keep it. Well, verses 7 to 11, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. And what Paul's doing here, he's pointing out one very good thing that the law does. Now think about this. If it wasn't for the law, how would anybody know when he or she is sinning? You wouldn't. How would anybody know there's a problem between him or her and God? You wouldn't. How would anybody know that he or she needs to be saved? You wouldn't if there was no law. Paul says, I would not have known sin except through the law. And then he gives us an example of what he means just to make sure we've got it. I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. That's the 10th commandment. It says, you shall not covet. You shall not desire anything that is not yours. That's what it means to covet. And we all covet stuff, don't we? Everybody does. I wish I had one of those. I wish I had a bigger house. I wish I had a nicer car. I wish I had a new pair of shoes. There's a whole industry. It's called the advertising industry. A whole industry that is geared toward making us covet. And everybody covets. Absolutely everybody. Even the hermit who's turned his back on the world to go and live in a cave in the desert covets. Wouldn't it be nice to have a cave that faces east so I could get the sun rising in the morning? It's just normal to covet. And sure, where's the harm in it? It's only thoughts, isn't it? Do you see, you would never know. You would never know that it's wrong to covet. It would never occur to you to think that coveting is sinful if the law didn't say so. You would just go on merrily coveting away and not a care in the world about it. I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But I think Paul means us to see a bit more than that. I think he means us to see that the law, as well as making us aware that we are sinners, helps us to understand the extent and the seriousness of our sin. And here's how it works. The law says, you shall not covet. Oh, God is even concerned about my thoughts? But aren't covetous thoughts just the kind of thoughts that everybody thinks? Yes, God is even concerned about those thoughts, and he calls them sin. And as well as that, if we hear the law and then we try not to covet, that covetousness is so deep-rooted in us, we find, that we can't possibly stop ourselves doing it. You try to stop yourself wanting stuff that belongs to other people that you don't have. It's impossible. Now, do you see what the law is doing for us there? It's making us aware of our sin, and it's exposing just what a deep-rooted problem that sin is. Even our everyday thoughts are sinful. And it shows us how deep are the difficulties we are in because we are powerless to stop ourselves sinning. We really are dead in sin. And so the 10th commandment was a good choice on Paul's part because it brings that out, I think, very nicely. And isn't it a good thing? I mean, isn't it better to know if you've got a problem with sin? Wouldn't it be worse if you just carried on and didn't know about it? I would not have known sin except through the law, Paul says. The law is a good thing. The law is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But Paul goes on to explain how sin takes the law, which is good, and makes it do a bad thing. Because of the sin in us, the law, instead of leading us to God, stirs up evil desires. Verse 8, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. The law says you shall not covet, but Paul says that didn't stop me coveting. The sin in me just made me covet more. How sin did that, Paul doesn't entirely say. We're left to guess at that. But he probably has in mind that sinful, perverse, rebellious streak that's in all of us that says, you say don't do that, I wonder what it would be like. Or maybe he's thinking about that sinful, proud thing that's in all of us that says, you're not going to tell me what I can't do. Whatever Paul's thinking about, there's some sinful, perverse thing in us. And if you tell me, if the law tells me I can't do something, that's the very thing I'm going to want to do. Paul doesn't say exactly how the law makes us sin more, but his point is clear. The fault is not with the law. It's the sin in us. That's the problem. The problem is the sin in us that hears the law and makes it into an opportunity for more sin. Do you see that? Do you see again how sinful and perverse we are? The law is a good thing, but the sin that's in us twists the law into an opportunity to sin more. And Paul keeps going along that line in verse 8. He says, for apart from the law, sin was dead. What he means is that without the law, nobody knew he was sinning and nobody cared. Sin wasn't a problem in anybody's mind. Sin was dead. But once a man becomes aware of the law, he can no longer live in the carefree way he used to. And he sees what a big problem his sin is. It's much bigger than he ever imagined. He realizes that he's done for and he's dead and he knows it. He's just waiting for the axe to fall. It's only a matter of time. Apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I was dead. I was a dead man. Verse 10. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. The result of knowing the law then, the law that is good and should lead us to God and bring life and joy and peace with God, the result of knowing it is more sin, and it just shows us how dead we are. The result of a man knowing the law is that he's just more condemned than he was when he didn't know a thing about it. Verse 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Sin has taken the law, something that we've demonstrated is good, and it has twisted it and used it in such a way that now we're in a worse position than we ever were when we didn't know anything about the law. What a disaster. So Paul's answer to the question then, is the law sin? Is the law a bad thing? Yes, the law has a disastrous effect on sinners. But the fault is not with the law. The problem is sin, which uses God's law to bring death. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. Now, if you don't get the rest, it's all very complicated, and I realize that. But here's the important point for this morning. The law is good. It's sin that's the problem. That's Paul's conclusion. The law is good, but it's sin that's the problem. Now, let's draw some conclusions of our own from that. First of all of this should be helping you to see, if you haven't seen it already, what a big, big problem sin is. It should be helping you to see how deep-rooted sin is in a person's life and how perverse it is. It'll help you to realize that sin's not just doing some bad things. And you need to know this, especially if you're not saved, you need to know this. Sin is right in there at the core of your being. So much so that you cannot keep God's law no matter how hard you try. That's how big a thing sin is. And worse than that, the sin in you even takes God's law, something that's meant to be good, and uses it for an opportunity to make you sin more. Now, how can somebody in that position be helped? I mean, if you have a really rebellious teenager who deliberately breaks all the rules of the house and says, you can't make me, how are you going to help him or her? If you try to enforce the rules, he's just going to get more rebellious, isn't he? And if you make more rules, well, what would be the point? Nothing works. All your efforts just make things worse. If he doesn't want to keep the rules, he's not going to keep them. And according to Paul here, we're all like that when it comes to God's rules. Sin in us makes us like that. That's exactly what Paul is saying. So if you're not saved, you have got a big problem. And you'll never fix it by trying to keep rules or by trying to be good enough. Your sin, the sinfulness that's in you, will see to it that you can't. And the more you try, the worse you'll get. What you need is to be saved from that sin. You need to be born again. You need to have a new heart that loves God's law and wants to keep it. Second observation, conclusion that I'm drawing from all of this. You should be convinced by this that the law is a good thing. The law makes you aware of your sin, and that's good because you can't do anything about a problem that you're not aware of. If it weren't for the law, you would never know that you needed to be saved. But Christian, you need the law too for that very same reason. You see, you're born again. You have got a new heart. And you do love the Lord and you love his ways. That's been put into you when you were born again. You're living a whole new life in Christ now, as every born again believer is. But the leftovers of the old sinful nature, the flesh is what Paul calls it in these chapters, that old sinful nature is still at work in you, isn't it? You have a new heart, yes, but you still sin, don't you? Of course you do. How do you know you're still sinning? How do you know that old nature is leading you to sin? Well, it's the law that tells you. If it weren't for the law, you wouldn't know. Even after you're saved, the law goes on exposing your sin and showing you what a big problem it is and what a big problem the flesh still is. That old sinful nature is still pretty perverse at times, isn't it? There's still a lot of the old twistedness and pride and curiosity about sin and all the rest of it. Sin still goes deep in you. Now you hate that sin. You don't want to be sinning. You want to be good. You want to be free of sin, and you're going to fight it and you're going to put it to death. Of course you are. But if you're going to fight it, first of all, you've got to see it. And it's the law that exposes your sin. The law is your friend. But this benefit of the law doesn't stop there. The law is good for more than that. You see, you're different. You want to please God. You want to be like him. You want to be holy. But how are you going to know how to do that? How do you know what holy is going to look like? How do you know what it would mean to be holy? It's the law again. The law tells you. Even after you're saved, the law is good. Because the law shows you how to do the very thing that you now want to do. It shows you how to be holy. Paul's conclusion goes beyond that too, and so should ours. So thirdly, verse 12 again, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. You need to remember, the law is holy, just and good. And God is holy and just and good. The law tells us not just what is sinful and what pleases God. It tells us what God is like. Why did God come up with all those Old Testament laws? 10 commandments, for example, take them. Why did God come up with those 10? Was it just to make us miserable? Nope. Was it just so that life would go better and we wouldn't be fighting the bit out and killing each other? No. He gave us those laws because that's the kind of God he is. Thou shalt not murder. Why? Because God hates murder. Thou shalt not steal, because God hates stealing. 6 days shall you labor. Why? Because God labored for 6 days and then he rested. And he wants us to enjoy the rest that he enjoys. Those laws were determined by God's nature. The law is holy and just and good, and God is holy and just and good. And that means that the law tells us not just what pleases God, it tells us what God is like. The law shows us holiness, and then the Bible tells us God is holy. The law shows us goodness and tells us that God is good. It shows us righteousness and it tells us that God is righteous. The law bears God's character. The law shows us what God is like. You might not be under the authority of the law anymore. No, you're not. You've died to it. You don't have to keep it. But we still need it so that we can know God and understand what he's like and what he values and what he loves. In fact, I'll go further than that. If you love God, you will love the law. If you love God, you will love his law. You must. The psalmist said in that passage we read earlier, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I want to think about it every moment, every day. That's how much I love your law." Some people say that the law has served its purpose. It's had its day. Jesus has come now. We don't need it anymore. No, no, no. Paul has already told us in chapter 3, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. We lift it up and give it a place of more importance. Remember, we saw that that's what he meant there. Now, I know that keeping God's law will not improve your standing or my standing with God in any one bit. Your standing with God depends entirely on what Jesus did for you. You can keep all the laws perfectly and you'll not be one bit better saved than you already are. By the same token, you could break all the laws entirely and you'll not be one bit less saved than you already are. Your standing with God does not depend on keeping the law. You're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And it's a free gift apart from the law. Praise God, it's a free gift apart from the law. But I love the law. Don't you? I can look into God's law and I can see where I'm going wrong. I want to be good and I want to walk with God. God has put that in my heart and his law shows me where I'm getting it wrong. And I wouldn't know without the law. So please don't take it from me. The law shows me what I must do if I want to get it right. And I do so want to get it right. It is my joy to walk with the Lord. That's what he's put in my heart. So don't take that law from me, because it helps me to see what pleases him. And I look into the law and I see my God. I see my Savior there, who is the exact image of his person. I see my Savior in the law. And he is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. Yes, this is my beloved. And this is my friend. The law is holy. And the commandment holy and just and good. Don't take it from me. I love God's law. Don't you love it too? Or is it a burden to you? Do you find yourself asking, do I really have to keep that one? Not if you love it, you won't. Here's another thought. If I didn't have the law, how would I know I'm saved? You see, if I'm saved, if I have been born again and have this new heart that I've been talking about, if I've been born again and have a new heart, then I will hate sin. I'll want to walk with God. I'll want to be holy. I'll want to be like Jesus. It's what a new born-again heart does, right? Now, how would you know if you hate sin if you didn't have the law to tell you what sin is? How would you know if you love righteousness without the law to show you what righteousness looks like? How would you know if you're becoming more like Jesus without the law to show you what Jesus is like? Do you see? Keeping the law doesn't make you one bit more saved, but if you don't want to keep the law, you can't possibly be sure that you are saved. Now be careful. I'm not saying that you've got to be perfect. None of us will ever keep the law perfectly this side of heaven. But if you have been born again, the desire is in there. You will love God's law and you will be making progress in keeping it, and you will, as a result, be becoming more and more like Jesus day by day, week by week, month by month. And you should be able to look back and say, yes, I'm more like Jesus now than I was a year ago or than I was 10 years ago. You'll be making progress. And if that's not the case, well, you might be saved. I can't say you're not. But you can't be sure. And if you're breaking God's law, the Ten Commandments, all the other rules that still apply, and even the commandments of the New Testament, if you're breaking God's law, if you're sinning, if you're breaking God's law and you know it and you're making excuses and you're content to let it go on like that, don't let it go on that way. Talk to God and get it sorted out. Talk to me if you need help to understand, but get to work on it because it's too important to ignore it. You need to be sure that you're saved. And the only way you can be sure is when you see yourself making that progress. And when you see in yourself a heart that loves God's law and wants to keep it. Let's pray together. Lord, you have put within us a heart that loves your law, and we thank you for it. And we thank you that most of all we see the Lord Jesus in it, who is our delight and our joy. And we pray, Lord, that as we go out into the week ahead, that it will be our joy to be obedient to you.